B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And it's hour two of the program. We're presented by DraftKings, both here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Catch us on the app or 98.5thesportshub.com. Where you can check out the Gary Myers interview with Zolak and Bertrand this morning, which we've been playing clips of. You'll hear more of it throughout the course of the day. We also broadcast on NBC Sports Boston, the simulcast across New England and the country. We had some fun earlier. I think it's fun. Guessing the sourcing on Gary Myers' reporting from yesterday. Mike in Duxbury wants to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Mike.
So we're talking about it on the midday show, and if you look back at Gary Myers' like books and all of his other reports through the past, you hear Brady's dad. He's on so many of his reports. He gets quotes from him all the time. And he's talked about it on Tom and his relationships in the past, so it wouldn't be as crazy to hear it from him. He doesn't quote him, obviously, but, you know, that's something that you could definitely guess.
Okay,
all the guys in Boston,
yeah, go ahead.
Stop denying it. He's gone. Brady's gone. Obviously, he's gone. He's going to wear a Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform next year, and so is Gronkowski. All you can do is cry about it. Or you can just get up and keep going, because Jared Stidham's going to be your quarterback. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I mean, but except that there were problems here, which is why he's gone. It's, you know, except that. The reporting on the Palace Q and all those things, there's a basis in. Otherwise, he would not be in effing Tampa. And when a reporter comes out like Gary Myers and says there's a problem between Brady and one of his coaches, you're going to go out and blow the reporter? Like, you're making it up. When Tom Brady's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, it's like, what's the matter with you people? Like, wake up.
Brady denied it, though. He's making it up. See, he was just a free agent. He wanted to go somewhere else at the end of the year. You're all making it up.
Oh, God. People, seriously. But the sourcing, to me, and yes, Gary Myers is filthy with the Brady people. He did not mean to be critical of Brady in that reporting yesterday. He just meant to tell you what he had heard and what had happened, that there was a falling out and a deterioration of the relationship between Brady and McDaniels. I think it looks poorly on Brady. And, you know, some people do as well, but it's not, he didn't mean to do that, which he made clear, but apparently he had to defend himself on Twitter. But, yeah, so he's filthy with the Brady people. He talked to Brady Sr. for the Brady Manning book. Brady gave him a lot of time for the Brady Manning book. He did a book with Brady and Manning. So he's filthy with the Brady people. I just assume the Brady camp is sort of half of his sourcing or just the background sourcing. And the old man, Tom Brady Sr., love him, mean it. But, like, at this point, like, it ain't that special to get something from Tom Brady Sr. I mean, I think he's been sort of spreading the word for a long time. And every now and then, Junior there puts a muzzle on him and gets him to stand down a little bit. But I think Brady Sr. has been telling people to score for a long time. That hardly counts to me. And that's not what I thought of when I heard this Gary Myers clip. Again, on the sourcing, Jimmy, just play number two, the rejoin length, if you would. Number two, please. This is, again, Gary Myers this morning with Beadle and Zola.
So if I was to tell you who told me that and exactly how they know it, nobody out there would question the correctness of my report. It's that good a source.
Wow.
And I just know that if you guys knew who it was, you would trust it as well.
See, I don't put Brady Sr. on that level, because I think Brady Sr. is obviously going to have a heavily slanted point of view. He's going to be spinning it for his son, and he's been blabbing for a while, frankly, all due respect, love and respect, mean it. But, like, that doesn't, when he talks like that, that means, like, high level, right there, unimpeachable, you know. So, which I thought Belichick is filthy with some of those New York guys. I don't know if Gary Myers is on that list or not. I just know his history with the New York writers. And I also know that it takes a little bit of heat off of Bill. If Bill or anyone else can say, well, Brady had a problem with Josh, you know, never mind Bill driving him out of town or forcing him out of town, Brady wasn't that happy with his coordinator either. And so I think Bill sort of benefits from the report.
I mean, look, again, I said this yesterday. The more that we learn on the inside, relatively speaking to what they typically are, they were a mess. They were a mess. It just, the whole thing wasn't, it wasn't jibing all the way across. And I have no doubts that was a significant part of the problem. Now, I told you, I'm starting to wonder if, you know, on some level, that they, you know, they've been purged a little bit and they can start over and that they will function better as a result.
Fred in Norwood. Hi, Fred.
Guys, I think Stidham is not better than Brady, but he could definitely be a better quarterback for this team because the receivers are young and they're going to make mistakes. And instead of freezing them out for their career, Stidham will look at them the next play. And I also think the Myers source screams Belichick because I think when everybody reads it, it makes Tom look bad. It makes Tom look like he was a real problem. It makes and I don't know. It's just the way. Hence, Myers had to apologize because everybody's like, "Whoa, they attack." It's got to be coming from Bill.
Hold on. When did Myers apologize?
When he said, "I wasn't trying to make Tom look bad." He said,
Right. I'm sorry. He didn't apologize. He tweeted out later because apparently he was getting blood by you people. He tweets out, "It's funny how things get misinterpreted. I was not being critical of Tom Brady at all when I reported about his deteriorating relationship with Josh McDaniels. After 6 Super Bowl rings and 9 Super Bowl appearances, is there anybody who doesn't think he deserved major input into the game plan?" So, I mean, I don't read an apology in there. He's just, I guess, responding to you people who can't accept the fact that there were issues on the team for some reason. And you feel the need to blow a reporter who's just telling you what he's heard. I think he's right, by the way. But I think it does... It helps Belichick as it takes a little heat off of him. And I mentioned this earlier, and maybe Robert too to some extent, because Robert has hitched his wagon to Bill Belichick. And if Bill's getting all this heat, you drove Tom Brady out of town. Robert, how do you let Bill Belichick do that to the greatest player ever? You know, one of the answers is, well, Tom wasn't so hot with the offensive coordinator either. And it takes heat off of both of them. And it sort of throws Josh under the bus a little bit. I wonder if that's going on down there.
Look, it came from somewhere high up. It did. It came from somewhere high up. And to me, you know, I know people want to, we always want to spend time on where it came from. The question to me is whether or not you believe it and what does it tell you? And what it tells me is that Tom Brady was a pain in the ass to more than one person at the end. So again, this doesn't change my opinion of Brady as a quarterback, what he's meant to the history of the franchise, all of that. But if we're looking at what it was at the end and the relationship between Brady and the coaching staff, between Brady and his teammates, it wasn't good. And a lot of it had to do with Brady's attitude.
Got funky there at the end. And it affected them on the field. Jack in Melrose. Hi, Jack.
Yeah, about your take with the team being better this year without Brady, I couldn't agree more. As far as I'm concerned, Brady's been a detriment to the team for the last 2 years, and nobody talks about it because they won a Super Bowl in 2018. If you remember, he skipped OTAs that year, too. Once the season started, Chris Hogan was completely exiled. The offense turned into look for Brady, Edelman and Gronk. If they're not open, take the sack. I mean, when's the last time you've seen Brady throw a missile while someone's coming after him and all that?
So Jack,
I haven't seen it in 2 years.
Yeah, the reason I chuckled is because you just said it a little too strong. He's been a problem here for 2 years. Like, you did win the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and he did.
3 years.
Was it 3 years ago now?
No. I'm saying Brady's been a problem for about 3 years because he's not showing up to practice on Wednesday. He does his media when he wants to on Friday. There are all these little other issues that went on. So it's really been for 3 years.
Okay, so I
is that strong enough?
Yeah, well, but it's too strong. But I want to say, like, I think there was a, you know, at first a slow deterioration here, and by the end it was, you know, really not very good. But I think the problems did start years ago. But I just wouldn't say them with that sort of bite when you're still going to Super Bowls. I mean, if those are, you know, if he was a problem two, three years ago, then give me those problems if you're still going to the Super Bowl. But I do believe it didn't just start last year, and it didn't just start in the second half of last year. It was these seeds had been sown for a while, Maz.
Mike, the Wickersham story came out the year of the Eagles Super Bowl.
That's right.
Okay, the Eagles Super Bowl. So we're talking the 2017.
Yeah,
2017 season, at the end of that season, right? I mean, you know, then they lose the Super Bowl, and then apparently, according to recent reports, that's when Brady knew that he was probably going to be out of here at the end of his existing contract. Then they won in 2018, but they did catch a break at the end. And so, look, I think Brady's attitude started to sour in 2017. Started. At the end of the day, when they got into the playoffs, he was still able to get past that. He was still able to invest into the team. So even though he was starting to sour a little bit, it wasn't undermining what they were doing. And then I would tell you that even in 2018, when they got to the end and they started handing it off and it started to click, Brady bought in. He saw the chance that they could win again, and he bought in. But this past year, he never really bought in. He was sour all year.
Brady's attitude changed when Jimmy Garoppolo was drafted. That's when the attitude changed. I believe that 100%.
Okay, but it also coincided when they got this great second half late career spurt from him. So
right, it's like the best thing that could have happened to him in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I'll take it. If it pissed him off and it's the slow decline started in 2014 now, well, that they won in 14, they won in 16, they went in 18, they won in 19. I'll take it.
You can win and be miserable. Both things can be true.
This is true. But when you're miserable and losing at home to Miami in week 17 and then losing your home playoff game in wild card round, that tells me you've ceased to use it as a motivator and have just sort of given into it.
I mean, look, it started a few years ago. Okay, it got bad this past year. But it got bad this past year.
But you folks are still fighting the Wickersham story. Are you still doing that? It's time to give it up. You know, he was
good
right.
Good luck with that one.
He was right. And I have it. I love going back to it. It's such a great read. This is again from January of 2018, and he talks about that scene in Buffalo in December when Brady MF'd McDaniels. He said on December 3rd, when the Patriots played the Bills, Tom Brady walked to the sidelines after throwing late and behind receiver Brandon Cooks on third down, ending a first quarter drive. Brady was angrier and more irritable than usual. As has often been the case this season in the eyes of some Patriots players and staff. As he unsnapped his chin strap, Brady passed offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels on the sideline. Quote, he was wide open, McDaniels said to Brady, referring to Brandon Cooks. Brady kept walking, glaring at McDaniels. So the coach repeated, we had him open, Tom. Brady snapped, pivoting to McDaniels and yelling at him, I got it. Everybody within earshot, including head coach Bill Belichick, turned to watch as Brady screamed. He removed his helmet, and as a Patriots staffer held him back, and with McDaniels' father and legendary Ohio High School coach Tom in the stands behind the bench, Brady capped off the exchange by yelling, F you! Video of the scene went viral, with many rationalizing it as a symptom of Brady's legendary competitiveness. Brady would later apologize to McDaniels, who dismissed the incident to reporters as part of what makes him great. And then it just goes on. But we all know real fissures lying underneath the surface there, Maz. It's just great to go back and read that.
Yeah, Felka, I think you're making it up. Brady's just a winner.
Seth Wickerscam made that whole thing up.
He did. Wickerscam. That's why we call him Wickerscam. Brady's a winner. He was telling McDaniels how much he loved him.
You folks go on there and blog Gary Myers? Now? When Tom Brady left you to go to Tampa, you're still going to fight that?
When he yelled F you, Felka, he was actually saying it to Belichick.
Why are you still fighting this? He ditched you. He left for
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And you think all this is still made up? Like, what is the matter with you people?
Yeah, and McDaniels' father's an a-hole.
I am curious about the popularity of the team. We got a caller on that before, and I've been fighting this narrative that the Pats are going to lose popularity. I want to pick this up on the other side with your thoughts on it right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The bottom line, like you said, is I really believe that Belichick wanted to move on from Tom, and I really believe that Brady wanted to move on from Belichick. Now, why did they feel that way? Well, that's where you get all these, you know, the different factors that led up to each of them feeling that way. You know, Belichick probably saw
a decline in Tom's skill set. Maybe he realized he was more stubborn than he had been in the past. Maybe he just felt it was, like with so many other players that have been in New England, to make the break from them a year too soon than a year too late. And from Tom's point of view, he might say, you know what? I'm just not having fun anymore. This has become a grind. I'm dreading going to work. Look, Josh McDaniels was always my buffer between myself and Belichick. And now, you know, Bill is pressuring him more to do things his way. And I have no say in the game plan or not as much say as I want. So there could be like five things on each side that led up to the fact that Bill didn't want Tom anymore and Tom didn't want Bill anymore. And the result is that Tom was going to Tampa.
Really, the more I think of it, the more I just think McDaniels was in the middle of it. If Bill told Josh, work with Tom and take his suggestions on the offense, Josh would have done it. Josh, you're going to do what Bill said. You think that Bill's going to have a assistant on his staff that isn't going to follow what Bill tells him to do? So if Bill told Josh, yeah, be open to Brady, take his suggestions, let's work him into the offense, then Josh would have done it. I think it was just the opposite, though. I think Bill, by this point, said, well, he's not showing up in the offseason. He doesn't like our young receivers. He takes a dump over them every time they run the wrong route or drop a ball. So we're not going to let, you know, he's not invested in us. He doesn't get say in the game plan. So ignore him. And so Josh ignored him. I mean, don't you think that's what it was?
Oh, yeah. And I think that Tom, I think for years now, thought he had kind of an ally or at least a buffer between him and Bill with Josh. And Josh was more aligned here with Bill, especially these last couple of years, as Brady morphed a bit more into Dan Marino at the end. And that's, I think, what this friction was all about.
Okay. Are you guys worried about the Patriots' popularity taking a hit?
No.
No, definitely not this year.
Okay, so this is, and I agree. Like, and when I say take a hit, like, that's, the numbers are going to go down. I mean, they're right. Not going to do whatever, 30s or 40s, you know, in some of these big games. They're not going to be as good or as compelling, so they're going to lose some audience, all right? But, I mean, does anyone think they're going to be anything other than a powerhouse, an absolute powerhouse in terms of market share and fan interest for years to come?
No.
I mean, But so I wonder about this, though. So, you know, here are a couple stories. Here's one. Ticket sales. Resale. Okay? And I know this is a weird year and there's mitigating factors. But anyway, this was reposted on the NBC Sports Boston website. According to the ticket search engine, TicketIQ, which I guess gauges secondary ticket sales.
It does, yeah.
Okay? According to that search engine, TicketIQ, tickets for the Patriots 2020 season are averaging $433 on the secondary market. That is a 39% drop from their 2019 ticket prices. Okay, that's the steepest price drop of any NFL team by a pretty significant margin. So the Patriots' ticket sales on the secondary market are down dramatically, the most of any team in the league. 39%. If you want to see Tom Brady in Tampa, meanwhile, a ticket's going to cost you an average of $485 on the secondary market. That's a 135% increase from Tampa Bay's 2019 secondary ticket market prices, which was the fourth highest jump in the NFL. Is that a significant number? Do you think those are, you know, that's an indication about what's, a, you know, what's about to happen here, a softer market for the Patriots without Tom Brady?
Well, look, it is going to be a softer market. But again, is it indication of things that will happen long term? My answer is no. And so I would tell you, though, that part of the reason the 2019 numbers were as high as they were is because I think a lot of people knew that that might be it, that this might be my last chance to see Brady. And so people were willing to extend to go see Brady down in Foxborough because who the hell knows? Hell, we were talking about it before the year began. This might be it. This might be Brady's final year in Foxborough. Now the Tampa people are saying the same thing. How long is this guy going to be around? You know, they're the flavor of the month down there, so, or Brady is. So there's going to be a swing there. But again, long term, am I worried? No.
So Tampa being up 135% makes perfect sense. They're starting from zero, right? They're starting from one of the softest, probably, markets going, and you now have Tom Brady, so you should be up over 100%. The Pats being down 40%? I don't know. Let's see about that.
Well, again, quarterback-driven league, right? We all know that, and at quarterback, they have an unknown. So, I mean, if they win, I think that'll change as the season goes along, but as of right now, like, I don't know, it makes sense.
See, I don't know. I'm now. So I've been saying for a while that if the Pats are competitive and winning, the support's going to be there because we're now an NFL town, and that's just what it is. You know, the football team's good, so we're a football town. The Patriots this last 20 years made us a football town, and now here we go. But I wonder. I mean, let me tell you, it doesn't matter who the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback is. If they're competitive, they're a force. And it doesn't matter who the Green Bay Packers quarterback is. If they're competitive, they're a force in their market, in their region. That's what the Steelers are. That's what the Packers are. That's what the Chicago Bears are. That's what, I don't know, give me some more teams like that. You know, powerhouse teams. The Denver Broncos, oh, out there in Denver, they love, as I like to say, they love their donkeys out there. And, you know, your quarterback could be Bubby Brister or Jake Plummer or Tim T. If you're winning in Denver, they're huge. They're massive. It doesn't matter who their quarterback is. Is it going to matter here? If they're 10-6 with Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer, is it going to be soft because what? It turns out we have a bunch of pink hat fans that just wanted to go down and, wee, there's Tommy. And now that he's gone, they're not going to be into it because we're really not at our core of football market. I don't know. Answer my question.
No. It's not. I mean, look, first of all, part of me wants to sort of, you know, part of me wants to say to you, manage your expectations. Because no matter the fan base, when you're talking about a dynasty, there's always a pink hat element. Always. So you're talking about the greatest dynasty in the history of the NFL. There are going to be some people that just jumped on that purely for the sake that it was a hot, trendy thing to do, and now they're going to fall off because the guy who's the face of the whole thing, at least to the fan base, isn't there anymore. So they're going to drop off. There is going to be a drop-off. But are they going to drop off to the point where they're not a force in the market? As long as they win, no way. No way.
And at least for a year, even if they don't win. People are still going to, it'll be cheaper to get in, I think, for the, you know, especially the casual fan that maybe goes to a game or two a year if you're buying tickets in the secondary market. But they're still going to pack the place if you're able to go.
It would disgust me. It would disgust me and disappoint me if the Pats were a good competitive team this year, but the support fell off dramatically because you didn't have Tommy. Like, what are you, a bunch of pink hats? Like, you know. What happened to that Red Sox crowd, Maz, in the middle of that, you know, that the aughts or whatever, that first decade of the 2000s was kind of gross.
Oh, totally. Look, fraud factor. Again, fraud factor. And again, in their case, I think they even lost beyond that. So this is what, you know, I just think the whole direction of the franchise got skewed and they started focusing on the wrong things. With the Patriots, again, look, all it's going to take for people to be dialed in again is for Stidham to be pretty good. Pretty good. That's all it's going to take. So, but Mike, if you're looking to replicate it was under Brady,
I hope you're right.
If you think they're going to replicate what they did under Brady, no shot.
Well, I don't mean to replicate, but if they're winning Super Bowls, I mean, and not that I'm expecting that, but if they're winning Super Bowls and going to Super Bowls with Jared Stidham, Brian Hoyer, Harry Schmedlap, I would expect the numbers to be through the roof and the support to be the same, close. If not the same, I would expect it to be the same. I mean,
it won't be the same as it was under Brady. It won't.
Well, that disgusts.
Because again, you're talking about a 20-year period. Now, look, if you tell me Stidham takes him the next 20 years, then by the end of that, yeah, of course. But out of the gate, you got to build that. That doesn't happen overnight.
How many pink hats are out there? Is my question.
A lot.
How many pink hats are out there? That's what I want to know. Are you football fans? Are we a football town? Or were you just Tom Brady pink hats? Honestly, that's an honest question that I wanted, because I was always on the side of the Pats are a powerhouse. They're here forever. They ain't going anywhere. The days of the, you know, the blackouts in Boston, this ain't coming back because we're now a football town. But I sort of wonder, what's the pink hat factor with that football team? Are we now Pittsburgh and Green Bay? And I say that in a good way, where the team is in the fabric and the heartbeat of the city, and they're going to be the biggest thing in town for generations just because they're the football team in town, and that's now what we are. Is that what we are? Or was that a glorified flavor of the month? And you go back to what, wearing pink hats at Fenway now because Tommy's gone? Like, that would gross me out, Maz. That would really disappoint me.
Well, look, again, I'm just telling you, you know, there's going to be some drop-off. You know, what we're talking about here is, again, Mike, you're talking about the greatest dynasty in the history of the NFL. There's never been anything like it. 20 years with the same quarterback, 9 Super Bowls, 6 titles, like the whole thing. It'll never happen again. So they're just by sheer definition and the human element of wanting to latch on to something popular, the pathetic human element of bandwagon jumping, it would take something similar to replicate it.
Okay, I just want to know what the fraud factor is. There's going to be a little fraud factor with any team like that. You're right.
Okay.
How big is it?
Well, so you want me to put a percentage on it?
Yes.
20%.
Oh, that's high.
Yeah, I don't think it's
so.
That high,
so wait a minute.
Oh, I do.
So wait a minute. The Pats are going to lose 1 out of 5 fans because Tommy's gone. 1 out of 5.
I'm telling you, if that their TV ratings were a 40, they'll drop to a 32. That's what I'm telling you.
That's too big of a drop. 1 in 5 of you are fraud fans. You're just Tommy. You're pink hats. You're Tommy Brady pink hats. No, don't tell me it's that high, Maz.
Oh, there's a lot of frauds out there. I bet you it's about 20%.
Don't tell me it's that high.
Well, so if I went to 15, you're going to be happier?
I don't know. We can quibble with the numbers. What do you folks think? We'll get to you after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
All right, to your phones as promised. Andrew in Boston, help me on that pink hat question. Go ahead.
Hey, Felger, Maz, first time, long time. You guys are great. Just wanted to say there is a whole generation of my kids my age. I'm 26, been a long time Patriots fan. Literally started watching the Patriots in second grade. Remember exactly where I was when Brady came in, and it was amazing. So I'm curious to see, are all these kids my age on the Brady wagon, or they're on the Patriots wagon, or both? Not really sure. Me, personally, unbelievably happy for Tom. Given me unbelievable memories for the past 20 years. Wish him nothing but the best. Hope there's a lot of folks out there like me. But also with that, in Bill we trust, go Pats.
Okay, I don't know what the hell your answer was to the question. You asked the question. I'm the facilitator. Are you going to call up and facilitate on top of my facilitating?
It's good.
That's not. We need less. We need answers, not
You're
more.
So jealous.
Not more facilitation.
See, people like him are who worry me, though.
Yeah, I'm starting to worry. And I don't know why it just hit me now. Maybe it was this Fricata ticket story, which I shouldn't put that much stock into. Or maybe it's a thing I read about the best-selling jerseys in the NFL. The best-selling jerseys in the NFL today. It's a crazy list, if you ask me. The number one best-selling jersey in the NFL right now is Tua Tagovailoa, Dolphins Aqua. So the Dolphins home Tua number one uniform is the best-selling uniform in the NFL. Number two, the Tua road jersey. Is number two. Tua Tagovailoa, Dolphins white, is number two. Then ranking third, fourth, fifth, and sixth are Tom Brady jerseys. Tom Brady Tampa jerseys. Just the different Fricata variations of that they have down there. The number three is Brady Buccaneers Pewter Alternative Vapor. Whatever the F that means. Number four is the Tom Brady Buccaneers White Vapor. The number fifth selling jersey is the Tom Brady's Buccaneers Red.
Yeah, I like the Pewter.
And then the sixth is Buccaneers Red Vapor. What's the difference between red and red vapor? But you people know because you're on there spending hundreds of dollars on this nonsense stuff. But anyway, Brady's jersey is ranked third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. Number seven is Rob Gronkowski, Buccaneers Pewter Alternate.
Vapor.
Joe Burrow's number eight. Gronkowski's number nine, Buccaneers red, and then Tom Brady's number 10 again, Buccaneers pewter alternate, whatever the F that is.
Vapor.
So there's five Tom Brady jerseys on there, two Rob Gronkowski jerseys. After two is 1 and 2, I couldn't even find the highest ranked jersey, the current Patriot. What's the best-selling Patriot jersey right now? Can someone look that up? I couldn't figure it out.
It's got to be Edelman, right?
Probably Brady.
Tooling around. I don't know. Who is it? What's the number one Patriot-selling jersey? Is it just a bunch of Brady fans, or are there real football fans here? Are we really a football town? You know, we're about to find out. This is something I'm fascinated in. I thought we were. If you had asked me up until today, I would have said, yep, here to stay. Patriots, football, baseball's dead. You know, the Bruins have a good little hardcore following, but it's still a niche sport and It's all about, you know, the Patriots. But I don't know why in the last 24 hours I'm starting to waver on that. I just want a bunch of Brady pink hats out there.
Okay, so look, the list of jerseys you just rattled off, what do they all have in common?
I don't know. You tell me.
Okay, they're all new. They're all new players. You know, Tampa Bay just got Brady. Tampa Bay just got Gronk. Miami just got Tua. The Bengals just got Burrow. They're all guys that just joined their team, so it's a new jersey. It's something different, and so people want it. That's what it is.
Okay.
So, now look, the Tua thing, you know, I find curious, too. But I think it speaks to, you know, what the Dolphins could be when they're good, and also...
Number one.
Well, right, there's that, and also number Alabama, one. Right? I mean, a lot of Alabama fans, the most dominant college football program in the country over the last 20 years, so there are a lot of Tua fans, or last, you know, 15 years or whatever, a lot of Tua fans as a result of it.
But maybe it just looks cool, number one in that aqua.
Could
you know,
be,
I don't
sure,
know. But,
sure.
But, I mean, I know what you're saying. It's just, I'm just worried about the Brady fraud factor here. I'm starting to worry about it, because it's going on in Tampa now, and are we just that? Is that what we are? I mean, I can't fathom that the Red Sox would ever come back and be the market leader in town, given the state of the sport, which we're going to get to next hour. They continue to do themselves proud there in baseball. I mean, I just can't fathom that. Hockey can't be. It's a niche sport. And so, I mean, like, I think by default it will be. But if they're good and competitive and tough and a good football team, but they're not winning championships, are you still going to have the same passion for the team? You know, because, again, Pittsburgh has that. Green Bay has that. Places like the Chicago and the Bears sort of have that. Like, there's other places where the football, it's the heartbeat of the city. And they don't have to win every year for it still to be crazy passionate about your team. Are you going to be crazy passionate about your team if you're not winning Super Bowls every second year?
Yes.
Okay.
You're overreacting to this in the short term. But I would tell you this. You're going to be disappointed at the beginning.
Me?
At the beginning, you're going to be disappointed.
Well, at least for next year. I mean, people are going to be watching both teams. And, you know, depending on how the Patriots are playing, the passion may be more for Brady and the Bucs, at least in 2020 or in 2021 as well.
Me overreacting. That doesn't quite sound like me, does it?
Oh, yeah, right.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, I also wonder if the fans are going to be there, because I think they are going to have a pretty decent year. They have a chance to. You've heard me lay out my plan, the path to 10 wins for the Patriots this year. I think there's a realistic path that they win 10 games this year, Maz. You heard me talk.
Jeez, I don't remember you doing that.
I did it a couple times on Friday. Just wanted to reset, make sure the full audience got it.
Oh.
So I don't really have to do it again other than to just sort of back it up with some rationale. Or in other words, I looked at the schedule and said, if you just take care of business in games you should win, there could be 10 wins there. And I laid it out. And some of these Vegas houses and odds makers, I mean to say, have already given you preseason game lines. And when you look at who's favored and who's not, I'm kind of right there. Now, there's different houses and different odds makers who have different odds. So there's one floating around out there where the Patriots are favored in 9 of the 16 games. So if you just win the games that you're favored in, you're 9-7. There's another odds maker called Points Bet. It's a gambling site that has set lines for almost every NFL game. They've only done it through week 16, though. They are withholding week 17 for reasons concerning who is in the hunt and who is not, which I find a little silly. If you're going to handicap the week 16 game and, you know, tell me who's going to win or who's favored on a game that's going to be December 27th, you might as well just go full hog and tell me who's going to be favored on January 3rd. Like, I mean, what's the difference? Like, you know, but either way, they've only handicapped 15 of the 16 games. They've left out week 17. Okay. But through week 16, they have the Patriots favored in 9 of the 16 games. 9 of the 16 weeks, I should say. 9 of the 15 games. They have not handicapped week 17 at home versus the Jets, which I will now install on the Felger big board, the Patriots as 6.5-point favorites.
Win.
Okay. Week 17 at home against the Jets. I'd like to think the Pats are going to be favored. So they're favored by 6.5 over Miami in week 1. They're underdogs in Seattle. They're favored by 5 over the Raiders in week 3. They're 8-point dogs at Kansas City in week 4. Then they come home and they're 5-point favorites against the Broncos. I told you. Win those home games against that grouping of the Raiders, Broncos, and Cardinals, who come here in week 12, where the Patriots are 7-point favorites against the Cardinals. So 5 points over the Raiders, 5 over the Broncos, 7 over the Cards. Sweep those games. They're prohibitive favorites in all those games. I said win 5 of the 6 division games. According to PointsBet, they are favored in 5 of the 6 games. Oh, wouldn't you know it? 5 of the 6 games. The only game they're a dog in is at Buffalo in week 8. The Bills are 1.5-point favorites right now. So, like, that's, I mean, that's even still, you know, in the cards there. So I said, sweep those 3 easy home games, go 5-1 in the division. All right, so far I'm good with points bet. Then I said split in L.A., right? They play 2 games in L.A., Chargers, Rams, Sunday, Thursday. Why are you already laughing at me?
I'm not laughing. I'm yawning.
You are points bet. Points bet has them favored against the Chargers. They're favored against the Chargers, and they're 1-point dogs at the Rams. So can I get one of those 2 wins? Now I'm at 9 wins, and then I told you, just give me 1 win of Niners at home coming off the bye, or home Baltimore, or at Houston. And according to points bet, the Pats are favored at Houston by 1.5. There's your 10 wins. Path to 10 wins, Maz. Path to 10 wins.
They're so favored, Murray, at Houston. That's ridiculous.
Murray, you know what this whole segment was? See, I'm right.
Yeah,
that's what that is.
No,
like
what it is.
I tuned out about 3 minutes ago.
See, I'm not crazy. Is what the segment's entitled? See, I'm not crazy. That if you just go by the games they should win, they could be a 10-win team. I just wanted to back that up with a little something, not just me pulling out of my arse. But then again, I don't want to bore you. So let's go back to the wonderful phone calls. John in Connecticut. Go ahead, John.
Decided to give us facts.
How's it going up? I just wanted to mention, I don't really understand why people get so upset about Tom Brady, Bill, Josh, whoever, you know, being upset at one another. I could care less if they're upset at one another. I was just happy they won. I couldn't care if they pulled out their swords and started fighting each other with it, as long as it just, you know, they produced on the field.
So I don't know why fans fight it either, John. But so when Gary Myers gets blood on Twitter and Patriots fans attack him on Twitter, because he says Brady had a problem with his assistant coach, he had a problem with his coordinator. Like, what do you think was going on here, folks? Why do you think Brady's in Tampa? It turns out all this stuff behind the scenes was true. I mean, Brady left. He divorced you. The divorce is real. And so it's like, it's one thing if they just patch all up and Brady stays. Then you could say it's all overblown. See? There's nothing to see here. You're making it up. Now, fine, if you would have stayed, you would have had some basis for that. But he left. He divorced your mother. He walked out on you. And you're still going to say, see, he's making it up. It's like, what's the matter with you? Like, what? Do you need to be whacked over the head with a baseball bat to get this through your skull?
No, you do start to wonder if, like, let's just say that everything happens as normal and there are actually fans in the stands in week 1. The Patriots trot out in the field and it's Jarrett Stidham behind center. How many of these people are going to be sitting in the stands going, yeah, what happened to Brady? Where's Brady? Why isn't Brady here? Yeah, Murray, where's Brady? What happened to Brady? What is he hurt?
Oh, Gary, nice, you're making it up. Like, really? You're still fighting that battle after Tom Brady walked out on you and left you and pretty much proved all that reporting accurate? It's crazy. Jules in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jules.
You're crazy, Mike. All these critiques that you got on Brady is perfectly answers for every single one of them, and I got them. And, you know, just like, you know, he's not coming to optional mini camps. The man was looking at a divorce. He's pissed off of that belt.
Jules, I like where you're going. Your phone's just not good enough. Maybe pull over. I'm in a good mood. So just pull. I'm not going to hang up. Just pull over, and we'll come back to you here in a second. Brian in Brockton. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the Patriots' defensive draft picks, specifically at Fernie Jennings. I think he could take over for Kyle Van Noy's position, and I think he has the potential to be a lot better than Kyle Van Noy. And on the Brady factor, I think we got to think about it. He's an international celebrity. You know, he's not just the best player on our team. He brought fans in from Mexico, London. You know, we're the most popular team in Mexico. So, yeah, we're obviously going to lose fans, but there's still a core group of fans in New England that are still going to go to the games, even if we're not, you know, even if we're a 10-win team.
Okay, so a core group of fans going to the games is not what I'm talking about. Is it going to be a driving force in your blood that's the heartbeat of the city? Because that's what the Steelers are to Pittsburgh, and that's what the Bears are to Chicago. That's what the Packers are to Green Bay. That's what a lot of these, you know, and I keep saying a lot, but, you know, that's what the Denver Broncos are to Denver. It doesn't matter who their quarterback is. Those teams are competitive. That's the heartbeat of the city, those teams. Is that what the Patriots are going to be if they're competitive without Tom Brady? Or because,
yes.
Because Tommy's not wearing pewter or whatever, we're going to lose that. And that would disappoint me. Anthony Jennings.
He almost lost a leg. Kyle Van Noy never did. So I'll just say that. Look, they address needs. Overall, I like what they did. I mean, I still think it might have been a stretch that they take a Division II safety with their first pick overall with Kyle Duggar. But they address needs, so I like that. But already saying that a guy who, again, almost lost a leg while he was at Alabama is already going to be better than Kyle Van Noy, let's pump the brakes.
I mean, Kyle Van Noy was really good for you the last couple of years. He was one of your best defensive players. And say what you will about him, you know, as a dude or the way he carried himself, you know, I'm not even talking about that. He was a good player on your defense. If Jennings is that, it's going to take at least a couple of years to even approach that. And if he's Kyle Van Noy, you scored. You scored big time. So that's I would not make that statement lightly. That would be a huge, huge thing if this kid was as good as Van Noy was the last couple of years. Jules in New Hampshire, are you there? You want to go ahead now?
Yeah, what's up, Mike? So critiques on Brady. Like, I've been hearing the same ones for years. And there's answers to all of them.
There's no excuse not to go to a passing camp if you're a quarterback, Jules. It's just lousy form. Lousy, lousy, lousy.
All right, can I answer that now?
Yes.
So he has guys out to Montana, he has guys to his house, and he's looking at a divorce. What do you do?
Oh, my God, you buy that thing about Giselle going to divorce him if he goes to practice in April?
You don't have a wife? You don't have a wife with kids who need help at home?
Jules,
come on, man.
He's lying about that. He's making that up. She was going to divorce him if he went to practice in April? What are you, soft? What do you think he's doing now? He just dragged her to Tampa. I mean, so she was going to walk out on him. They're all in Brookline, okay? The kids go to school at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then from 9 to about 1, he goes to practice in Foxborough and then comes back. She's going to divorce him if he does that? You believe that, Jules? This is what I'm talking about, Murray. It's like, you still believe that?
Well, but yeah. She was okay with the trip to the Mediterranean when he got on the boat?
Right. Was she with him? I don't believe so. It's like
people pick and choose the stories they want to believe. That's not just sports fans either. That's every aspect of life now. So
how do you know? I'm just going to about 95 other quarterbacks, about 95 of them. I would say every starter, and my guess is every backup, and probably every third string guy because he needs to do it to go to the team. So I do know every starting quarterback in the league went to their passing camp. Every year over the last 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it's been since we started looking at it, every single one. And I would assume most backups. But every quarterback won except for Tommy. So those guys were risking divorce? Is that, like, you can't, and do you understand, it's not like you're going away to camp. It's not like you're there all day. It's like 3, 4 hours, a couple days a week, 3, 4 days a week in the spring when Tom Brady's here in town anyway. And you think she was going to walk out on him if he went to the Gillette for 3, 4? He did go to Gillette. He just went to TB12 instead of the stadium and his teammates. You still believe that? Hey. Let's get to baseball. Let's get to the Players Union. Once again, doing their thing. I just want a quick Brady breather, and I want to get to this story. We'll do it after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.